And now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. The bill to overhaul immigration may get a second chance this week. The first time around, it fell well short of the votes it needed in the U.S. Senate. There are plenty of contentious issues that could still derail the bill, including a path to citizenship for immigrants now in the country illegally. But the one part of the bill everybody agrees on, argues Charles Krauthammer, is stronger enforcement at the border. A fence. In his column in Friday's Washington Post, he said that fences work. They're simple to build, easy to maintain, and show the world that America is closed to illegal immigrants. So why not start there? Is a fence the best way to secure the border and to pass an immigration bill? Would it work and at what cost? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also send us a comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer joins us on the line from his office here in Washington. Nice to have you back on the program, Charles.
Pleasure to be with you.
And it seems to me you think a fence would be useful on the border and that the issue of the fence is useful in Washington.
Well, you know, I like to keep things simple. You go up and down the residential neighborhoods, people have fences. They're not aggressive. They're not unwelcoming. They simply say, come to my house, but knock on the front door. And that's what our immigration laws ostensibly say. So let's have a policy of very generous legal immigration, which I'm in favor of. But unless you get the country convinced that we're serious about border enforcement, you will not get the kind of constituency, the kind of broad support for amnesty and legalization for illegals, which I am for, because people will think this is going to happen again in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years. And I'll just make one point here, Neil, which is in 1986, you remember the Simpson-Mazzoli bill, which granted amnesty. I was in favor of that. And there were all kinds of promises about enforcement, and that was going to be our last amnesty. Here we are 20 years later. If you were to convince me that this is the last amnesty, that there's not going to be another cohort of 12 million illegals, I would be willing to grant amnesty tomorrow to all of them.
Yet you also see this as a way to, almost as a wedge issue to get some votes for the immigration bill.
I'm not looking at it as a wedge issue at all. I think that what I proposed is, has no chance of passage. And I know that the politics here in Washington, the establishment wants this bill. Employers want to have cheap labor. Hispanic constituencies want to have legalization. I'm sympathetic to that. But I believe that if you did enforcement first, there are people who are for enforcement only.
Right.
I'm not one of them. I'm for enforcement first. I'm quite willing, as I said, to legalize illegals. But I think that you have to show the country you're serious, and there's no demonstration of that whatsoever in this bill.
And this bill does call for what I usually is referred to as a bolstered border crossing, but still there would be fencing across very, very little of it.
Very little of it. I mean, 370 miles, 2,100-mile border. You can tell me that parts of it are swampy and the Rio Grande and inaccessible. Fine. All right. You don't build a fence there. Presumably people can't get across. But there are long, long stretches of open land where people are driving through now, the coyotes. And it's very simple to stop them. Fences work. Israel has built a fence to stop people who are far more determined than illegal immigrants, terrorists, and not one has gotten through the fence in about 2 years. Not one. Fences are simple. They don't require a lot of maintenance. There's this vogue for, you know, virtual fences, high-tech stuff, fancy gadgets. Why? It seems to me a sign of unseriousness. Why do you want to play around with a very simple concept? You drive up and down Massachusetts Avenue here in Washington, which is Embassy Row. Every embassy has a wall or a fence. Again, that's not aggressive. It's simply a matter of saying, if you want to come in, you knock on the front door.
You say they're simple and easy to maintain. One of the examples you cited in your piece was Hadrian's Wall, which, of course, did require a few legions of Roman troops. It's not a passive defense.
Well, look, I was being somewhat tongue-in-cheek. Hadrian's Wall was not for illegal immigrants who wanted to pick berries in northern England. It was for Scots who wanted to invade. That's why you had to have the legions. You don't have to have legions to stop people who are looking for work illegally. You don't have to have dogs and watchtowers and all that like East Germany had. We are not stopping invaders, and we're not keeping people in like the Berlin Wall did. That's why even people say it's a terrible symbol. It's not. It's the opposite of a Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall kept people in, which made Berlin a prison. out unless they knock. Knocking means going through the process.
We'll get some calls on this. 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And why don't we start with Will? And Will's with us from San Antonio in Texas.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. A fence is a very good idea. I live here in Texas, and I grew up on the border. The other thing that we need is a constitutional amendment stipulating that both parents or the mother must be a legal U.S. resident in order for their child to be a legal U.S. resident. We've got a whole big deal down here where people come in, and these women are fixing to drop a kid. They cross the border, have the kid, and suddenly they get welfare, hospitalization, all the things that we as taxpayers should be entitled to, and these illegal immigrants are coming over and getting them.
Well, getting back to your argument, Will, would not a good fence prevent that from happening?
No, because it would help prevent, yes. But you take that away, and there's no enticement for all of these pregnant women from coming over here. Mm-hmm. Or say a couple gets in, gets under the radar, they have a child, all of a sudden the child can stay, so they can stay too. Mm-hmm. They've broken our laws, and they're rewarded for it. You take away the reward, they won't do it.
Charles Krauthammer, a constitutional amendment to change the age-old provision that children born in the United States are citizens of the United States.
Well, as the first American-born child in my family, I sort of have a warm spot for that constitutional provision. I understand what the caller is saying, and it's very clear that there is this perverse incentive.
But were your parents here legally?
I'm sorry?
Were your parents here legally when you were born?
Of course, yeah, and they waited many, many years to get in, and they went through the process, and they knocked on the front door. No, I wasn't dropped across the border, as you said. A rather colorful phrase. And I'm sympathetic. I think it is an abuse, obviously a clear abuse of America's generosity. The only reason I'm skeptical about that is I don't like to play with the Constitution. I've opposed all kinds of amendments, even though I believe in the policy. For instance, the abolition of affirmative action, I wouldn't ever want to see that in the Constitution. I think these ought to be decided by Congress. Unfortunately, it cannot be affected by Congress because it is already in the Constitution.
If we could take that away from them.
I'm sorry?
If we could take that away from the illegal immigrants, whatever means necessary.
I understand. I'd rather do it with a fence and leave the Constitution in place, in which case it would be a hell of a lot more difficult for people to get in. If you can't access it by car or bus or, coyote van, and you have to climb a fence, cross a patrolled road, climb a second fence, I don't think a lot of women in their eighth month are going to do that.
Or get a tourist visa, fly to Los Angeles, and overstay your visa.
Well, that's not going to be stopped in any case. I mean, I'm sure that this happens, and it'll continue to happen, and what we have to do, I suppose, is tracking people in the United States. But then again, we're a different kind of country. We don't like to have that kind of, when you used to go to East Germany or Czechoslovakia in the old days, you'd come in and they'd track you every step of the way. We want to do that now to stop terrorists, but it's not very American to actually be following people around. So, look, I'm for tightening that up, but I think if that's the only remaining loophole, we'll survive. I want to keep the hundreds of thousands who stream across the border every month or two from being able to do so with almost no barriers at all.
Let's get Michael on the line. Michael calling us from Oklahoma City.
Yes, hello, sir.
Hi.
Having served in the National Guard on the border, I can tell you that the simple fence that Mr. Krauthammer is talking about just will not work. Fences can be scaled. They can be tunneled underneath without having all of this other stuff around it, like surveillance systems, quick reaction forces to go after the people who do breach the fence, and they will. Then putting the fence up there is a waste of money.
Right,
I want to stop or slow down illegal immigration, and I'm not sure that this is really anything more than a political rallying point for part of the electorate. But if this is something you really want to do, then you need to go after the people who employ illegal immigrants by the hundreds. They're committing a crime. Why are we not enforcing the law against these people?
I have several responses.
Go ahead, Charles.
Number one, I don't believe in putting up a fence and then leaving it out there. Obviously, you want a fence, a patrol road, and then a second fence, and you want all kinds of sensors and all the other gizmos. It's just that I don't want to have all the gizmos without a physical barrier. And the reason is the gentleman is right. You can scale a fence and you can dig under. But if you require people to do that, you have eliminated the vans, the vehicle traffic across. You've eliminated all but the most determined and the sturdiest. You have reduced it to a trickle. You've made it very easy to spot, locate, arrest, and return people who do that. That would not, of course, a fence with all of the sensors and patrol would not reduce illegal immigration to zero, but I would reduce a flood to a trickle. And we can live with a trickle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you dig underneath, you're not going to drive a van under it. You'll smuggle a few people under, and very quickly it'll be spotted. It reduces a major, major problem to a minor one. The problem about enforcing in the interior, I'm sympathetic to that. I think it is illegal to hire illegals, and people ought to be punished. But I'm wary about putting the entire burden on employers if the border is not seriously closed.
I don't think it's the government's job
to close the border, not landscapers and hotel managers.
Michael, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, sir.
We're talking today on the Opinion Page with Charles Krauthammer, a syndicated columnist. His op-ed appeared in Friday's Washington Post, and you can see a link to it at our webpage, npr.org/talk. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Charles Krauthammer, get some more calls on in just a second, but one of the things you say in your piece is that we have to announce to the world that the U.S. is closed to immigrants except those who come by the front door. And this is a very limited flow of immigrants. We're talking about hundreds of thousands maybe per year. And a lot of people say that does not accord with their image of America, either to say that we're closed or that indeed we have borders to keep people out.
I don't understand that argument at all, Neil. We have had laws about immigration ever since we were a republic. We can change the laws to expand it. I'm all for lots of legal immigration. I think we ought to have a point system. I think we ought to throw our doors open. I think America is in the absolutely unique position, a very enviable position, of being such a dynamic, attractive, tolerant, and open country that, as you know and I know, it is the most attractive country to immigrants around the world. We are like a team that has the first million picks in the NBA draft. And I would like to admit all these are the best and the brightest and energetic and people from around the world who want to come to America. And I think we have that as an amazing asset that we are squandering because the borders are broken. People are coming in who are not invited. And rather than having generous laws that pick people from around the world by our criteria and under our laws and regulations, they're coming in by their criteria and their regulations and laws essentially unregulated. So I'm not at all against immigration. I'm the son of immigrants. I believe in immigration. I think that's what made America great. I just don't. I simply want us to control who comes in and when and how. And that means having, like every other country on the planet, immigration laws and having them obeyed.
Let's get...
That's a pretty simple proposition, Neil. It's not very complicated. It's not very un-American.
David's with us on the line from San Antonio.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on the fence on the border. I really find the idea preposterous. I can't believe that the employers in this country place such a heavy demand for the type of work that migrant farm workers do, not only in the United States, but also in Canada. And the idea of putting up a fence, to me, is kind of like putting a Band-Aid on an internal wound. And the idea is just completely preposterous. We have a demand in this country for work, which our community, our people just aren't willing to do the kind of work that our employers are demanding. And we seek out those employees, and we give them jobs. And I completely agree that until we really put the foot down on the employers and tell them that they just do not have the ability to employ people like that, and we're really going to wage some heavy, give them heavy consequences, then we're just letting this thing go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. But getting back to Charlie Krauthammer's argument, David, why not say, all right, you can't come across illegally. We'll set a quota for the number of people who want to come in and do the work, and that'll be that.
I think that's wonderful. I really do. But I believe at the same time with the communities growing in the areas that they've proposed to expand the fences, it will just push the people that wish to cross out farther and farther, and they will cross. I mean, they'll just carry more water, and they'll take more supplies, and they will come across the same way they always have and the same way they always will. I live in a country, the problem that I see in San Antonio and in South Texas and West Texas and a lot of other areas in the South is...
And if you could make it quick, please.
This is as much a racial issue as it is anything else. The majority of the immigrants coming in are mestizo. Many of the people...
I'm going to have to stop you there because I want to give Charles Krauthammer a chance to reply. We just have about 30 seconds left.
I would be in favor of a guest worker program for those people who want to do the work that Americans won't do. That's part of the bill. If you had enforcement first, it would be a real program. It would be a premium. People would want to get into it to do it and go back home. And then I would, as you say, I would also expand the quotas of people who would be allowed legally who are interested in this kind of work.
Hmm. Do you see it as a racial issue?
No, I don't. I think if it were any other color or creed, it would make no difference. It's a question of do we make the laws or do other people make the laws for who gets into America?
Charles Krauthammer, thanks very much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Charles Krauthammer, syndicated columnist based here in Washington. We have a link to his column on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.